The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
In a moment, we're going to be talking to one of the survivors of the Bataclan outrage of November 2015. But first, we're going to Paris to the Irish Times correspondent, Lara Marlowe. And tell us, please, about the trial which is starting. How many people are facing charges? Because weren't many of those responsible for the massacres in Paris themselves killed?
Yes, you're right. 9 out of 10 of the people who carried out the massacres were killed either on the night or the last two killed 5 days later. There are 20 people on trial. 6 of them are being tried in absentia. And of those 6, 5 are believed to have died in bombings in Syria. But because they can't be certain that they're dead, they're still trying them with the evidence they have. That means there are 14 men actually in the dock from today for the next 9 months. And of those 14, all but 3 are in prison. 3 of them are allowed to stay at home, but they have to report in every day, and they're just suspected of that. Let me put it this way. The investigators could not establish with certainty that they knew what they were doing, that they knew that they were aiding and abetting these Islamist attacks.
So is that the case that it's just one gunman on trial and that the rest are people who are believed to have been involved in the planning or administration of these horrible attacks?
Well, some of their offences are worse than that. I mean, there are 2 men who would have been there, but they arrived from Syria too late. They were detained in one of the refugee camps, I believe. They were detained by authorities in Austria. So they were meant to be suicide bombers. Allegedly, and there are others who helped to organize. You remember the attacks in Brussels 4 months later at the airport and in the underground. So they played an active role. These are not just small fry.
And tell us what way this trial will be conducted, because they have a different way of doing things in France to what we would know here in Ireland, don't they?
They certainly do. They're extremely thorough. The 5 judges spent 4.5 years amassing evidence, and the evidence runs to hundreds of thousands of pages. They've built a special courtroom, which is bigger than an Olympic swimming pool, which holds 550 people. That's inside the old Palais de Justice. They've built or prepared 12 annex rooms for the overflow with giant video screens. The security today is really amazing. They've blocked off many streets. There are police snipers on roofs. There are boats of police, armed policemen going around.
Oh, and we seem to have had a dropout there in Lara Marlowe's line from Paris. Hopefully we'll get her back. But we're also joined by one of the Irish people who was in the Bataclan that dreadful night, who survived despite being shot. David Nolan, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word. How are you when you hear about the trial beginning into the events of that particular night?
It's always kind of very close to the front of our minds, myself and my wife. But when you hear news like this again, it brings it right to the very front. You know, it's 6 years this November, and you kind of, life kind of goes on. We've, you know, since then got married, have children, kind of, you know, move forward in our lives. But the very second any news comes up about it, just brings you straight back to that night and to those poor people that died. And just, you feel it all again. Very, very real again.
I mean, they talk about post-traumatic stress, but is that something that you and your wife would have suffered from, yourself and Katie, as a result of going through what was for you a near-death experience?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we were even just talking about it not too long ago, about how we used to go to a lot of gigs before this happened. And since that happened, even going into kind of an enclosed arena, something like it, is just traumatic for us. We obviously, with COVID, we haven't been able to have that opportunity anyway. So I think it's kind of, it's a traumatic thing that's always there. Even lighting a candle, the smell of a match smells like the gunfire that night. It can snap you into that moment. You know, fireworks, we like Halloween, you know, can be a nice time of year, but fireworks around that time, the noise will trigger us again. We know it's going to happen. You know, it's almost you say, right, it's okay, that's not what we think it is, but the noise, the sounds, the smells can just bring you right back there.
Even watching things on television, movies and TV shows where suddenly violence is involved, is that something you're able to do?
We've definitely avoided it as best we can. You know, we'd watch whatever is kind of popular at the time or whatever, but if we kind of have an idea there's going to be violence or blood or, you know, gore, anything that's kind of, we try and avoid it if we think it's going to trigger us. Now, obviously, we know this is not reality. You know, we've seen the worst in reality. So, you know, your logical brain tells you that's only something on TV, but just it's always kind of there. You know, you just have to be careful, I guess, not to trigger yourself into kind of a panic or the state of being afraid again.
And what about your own physical injuries that you suffered on the night? How long do they take to recover?
And they're still ongoing. I was literally at my GP recently. I'm having issues with my left knee, which is the size of my left foot was where I got shot. I had multiple surgeries at the time, and they've got it back to a level of being able to walk, but comfort is not there. I'm having back issues. My hips are an issue. You know, my ankles, everything has kind of been affected due to the trauma of that gunshot. And, you know, I would have been an active sports person, played soccer like 5 nights a week, trained with a local team, the Colas Arcus, and all that stopped overnight. And, you know, they're simple things, but as you get older, not being able to exercise and not being able to do anything that's kind of active, especially now that we've got 3 kids, you want to be active and healthy for them. And that's just gone from my life. Walking is as much as I can do, and even then it can cause me pain. So it's kind of an ongoing management of that pain.
And yet you and Katie are so lucky that you survived it, that you're still alive.
Well, absolutely. That's the thing. Even like speaking like this now, I feel kind of almost, you know, guilty that I'm complaining, because I mean, there's families.
You're not complaining, you're just explaining what I think to anybody. I mean, in fairness, I wouldn't take it as a complaint. I'm sure our listeners wouldn't.
But again, like, we do think about those families that lost loved ones that night. We even talk about people we saw kind of in the gig that we kind of just, oh, he's like, he was an older man watching the gig. And we said, that's cool. I wish I was like as cool as him when I'm that age going to a gig. And, you know, transpired he got killed that night. And those kind of people are still in your mind. So, you know, you kind of, you feel like we're lucky, we're here, we're alive. You know, we can look forward, but those people are stuck with that horror. The families who lost people that night are stuck with that. And hopefully maybe the case can kind of help them not get closure, but just maybe move on a little bit and get some justice for those people.
Yeah. And will you be following the case, do you reckon?
Yeah, we're what they call party civil to the case, as because we're victims of it. So we'll be given all the information as to how it's transpiring and kind of as it goes along. I think it's in 9 months approximately they've penciled in. So we'll be obtaining as much information as we want. Again, it's kind of the translation issue may be a problem, but you know, it's kind of one of those things. We don't want to be rolling over pages of information, you know, and kind of we just want to know about it, but not get too bogged down in it, I guess. Because
will you be giving evidence, or will you be asked to give your account?
We can. It's kind of our choice if we wish to give a statement, kind of almost a victim statement. I think us and anybody who is party civil to the case can do that. Again, it's everyone's personal choice. So it remains to be seen when or if that'll happen.
David Nolan, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word. Lara Marlow is back, the Irish Times Paris correspondent. There were 130 people killed that night between the Bataclan concert hall and various other bars and restaurants where the terrorists did their worst. How has it changed, Lara, for France since? I mean, what did it do to attitudes in France and to security measures? How did it change the country?
I think that not just the attacks of that night, although they were the worst Islamist attacks in French history, But the whole spate of attacks, there's been dozens of them, and you remember the one in Nice the following summer where 86 people were slaughtered. It has pushed the country to the right politically. It has probably increased prejudice against Arabs and Muslims. At the same time, I suppose the COVID pandemic has in a way sort of put it in second place in people's minds. But there's still, I mean, the Interior Minister was saying today that this is a high-risk moment, that it could happen. There is a danger, a security danger because of this trial. And certainly there's a huge amount of security in evidence in Paris today. So the whole country has kind of remained nervous, I guess that's the word, just on the lookout in a way that it wasn't before. Although there were attacks in the 2000s as well. It's something that just seems to keep coming back. And then I think, you know, listening to David Nolan was extremely sobering. Almost everyone I know knew someone who was at the Bataclan that night. And it filters very, very deeply into the population. It spreads much further than just the people who were there that night. And I know just personally for a long time, and even still sometimes when I see huge groups of people, for example, picnicking on the lawns on the Esplanade des Invalides, I often imagine, oh my goodness, what if, you know, what if a gunman comes and you know, starts something? There's that reaction constantly, and I still think of it, and I think a lot of people do.
Laura Marlow, Irish Times correspondent, thank you for joining us from Paris, and our thanks again to David Nolan for talking about something so deeply personal and clearly something that you'll always live with.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.